The following interview was recorded in the year 2017 by the Gawler Community Broadcasting Association as part of the Gawler Oral History Interview Project.
UCARE is a non-profit community organisation in Gawler. Raylene Bennier has been the volunteer coordinator there for many years. Welcome, Raylene.
Thank you.
Can you talk about what UCARE does and a bit about its background?
Well, initially, our main focus, I think, is on emergency relief, that is food parcels and food or bread every day for the people that come in to us, and vegetables. That's the main thing. We do have things, offshoots from that. We give them financial counselling. They can get a NILS loan or they can get a step-up loan. But the main focus, I believe, is emergency relief. Okay. That's what we're about.
Yeah, right. So why do people come and see you? What goes on and what is going on in their lives that drives them through the front door here?
Well, I guess, Barry, the amount of bread that we get every day, which works out to about 400 to 600 loaves every day, we use that every day. So there's some people that come in that don't really want to see us. They don't want to be acknowledged by us. So they just come in and grab their two loaves of bread. Other people come in for vegetables or fruit, because in the mornings we have fruit and vegetables early in the morning. That fruit, you have to be quick to get in here and get that. It goes, and we say it sells like hotcakes, but we don't sell anything, it just goes. And we're making sure it goes to the right people. So we have, I don't like to say this, but this is the truth, we have the needy and we have the greedy. So we just have to focus on the needy, and we try and work out who the greedy ones are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any idea the numbers of people who might come in on a daily basis to you?
On Monday mornings, we would have 60 lined up at the door to start off the day.
Yeah.
We'd have probably 100 clients a day, because we've got to get rid of all that bread. So it's really hard to work out, but I do statistics, and we works out that we look after 800 families a year. That's only in Gawler.
Staggering.
Well, I was when I first started the stats, because they didn't really have them back then.
Yes.
And when I started doing the statistics, and it was just amazing to me that we actually looked after that many people, and they come from Gawler. And I thought we were quite an affluent town.
Yeah.
But here you go, we're not as well off as we think.
Yeah. So you're seeing a side of Gawler that many people actually are not even aware of.
No. When you go down the streets, everything looks hunky-dory. And, but behind the scenes, there's kids there that are... we've got people coming in at 7:30 because they've got nothing to give their children for lunch that day.
Yeah.
So we're actually servicing that need as well.
Yes, okay.
And that's sad. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I first started that sort of thing even happened.
Yeah.
But that's how it is.
So you see a lot of, I guess, sad stories, and you actually get a chance to, in some ways, probably help people. Are there any stories about particular people you can tell where you think that you really have made a difference?
Well, we have a lot of people in here that under domestic violence or even have some sort of issue like that. And sometimes there's not a lot I can do to help them, but sometimes people just need a hug.
Yeah.
However, we have some really sad stories. And with some of those people, I just don't want them to go. So I bring them into my office and we can talk about their issues.
Yeah.
Once I start that process, that we could be talking for a couple of hours, but it's well worth the effort. I can tell you one story. I don't need to mention any names, but one lady I helped out, she had three children, and I went and got the children from school. It was quite a very sad and very awful situation. Put her in a motel. She's quite an intelligent woman. Would you believe she's now a paramedic?
Wow.
She's training to be a paramedic.
Yeah.
And her life has completely changed around. She didn't look like the girl I saw 5 months before. Totally
unrecognizable.
In fact, she came and said, Raylene, it's me. And I said, what? I just can't believe it was the same girl I was talking to. The whole life And I just felt then that, yes, we did do the right thing, because when you're doing this sort of work, you think, you know, you're breaking up a family and you think, oh, dear, this is not the way it should be. But sometimes that's the way it has to be. So, yeah, I felt quite gratified. And it is surprising how many people are out there, including women, living in their cars or on the streets. There's quite a lot.
In Gawler.
In Gawler. They come in here. Some guys come in two or three times a week for a shower. I have a lady that comes in at least once a week for a shower. I don't know what she does during the other time, but she must travel around. And really, they just come in for a shower and to do their washing. And we provide that at UCare. So it's all, well, it's all good that we can provide that, but it's pretty sad thing to think that we've got so many people living on the streets.
It's quite an awakening, actually. But for those people where you think you have made that difference, clearly they feel great. How do you feel when you get that feedback?
That day when she told me what she was doing and that she was back at, she was actually back at university doing a paramedic degree, because she already had the mark she needed from uni. It just, it makes it all, it makes me worth, it's worth coming in the morning now to think that, yes, I can make a difference, because that's not the first person that I was able to help. It's, you know, we've got a whole team, there's a whole team behind us that do a lot of work. And just to think we've helped all those people, you know, and sometimes the people, as I said before, just need a hug. And we've got the girls behind there that want to do that work. And that's what we do.
You mentioned about domestic violence. It's certainly getting a lot of needed publicity at the moment. Are there any general observations about what you see in Gawler in terms of that, that issue, how it impacts on UCare?
Well, the main issue is when they actually leave the family home, because usually it's usually the girls that leave the family home because the guy doesn't want them to have the keys to, and things like that. There's more than we actually think. I probably have probably at least one every week, at least.
Yes.
And then there's other people I talk to that maybe can work out their problems themselves. But it's surprising as well that men have the same sort of problems. So I was only talking to a guy the other day who has the same problem. So we had to find him a house to live. So it's just, it's not just one sex, it's both who have the problem. So, and that, that flabbergasted me. It's something that I'd never thought about, really.
So are you seeing more of these situations?
We are seeing, I would think, a lot more. A lot more. I had four interviews last month for domestic violence. So that tells you a story. I mean, that
certainly does.
Yeah, that's an hour to 2 hours for each of those clients. And I don't, I can give them the advice, I can show them, give them all different cards and give them different information.
Various agencies,
various people. I can give them the phone to call people that can to help them. So that's pretty important as well, just so they know, because I'm not an expert. I've never trained in that sort of thing, but I can certainly hand them over to someone who does know what to do.
Okay. You're a volunteer yourself, and you have actually a large team of volunteers. And I know that you're very proud of them, but I'm sure there are challenges and headaches in managing a group like this. Can you tell us some of the stories about your volunteers where maybe being a volunteer at UCare has made a difference in their lives?
Well, volunteering is quite good fun because you don't think you have the responsibility, so you can get that straight away. It's just like any ordinary, everyday job. You still have to do what you've been told to do, basically. Volunteers are just wonderful. We have 42 here working at the moment. We need all those because there's kitchen staff, reception staff, and of course the guys in the financial counselling and things like that. And of course there's lots of people needed in the kitchen every morning. And also we've got to think about the people bringing the bread, collecting the bread, collecting the vegetables, and that sort of thing.
Talk to us about the kitchen staff. What's going on there? What's all that about?
Well, I just want to talk about something else, if you don't mind, with that. Yeah. We also have Work for the Dole. So we've got people coming in now that actually work for the Dole. So we've got, we just had two guys working in reception.
Yeah.
They were wonderful. One guy, I don't hope he doesn't mind, but he's a, psychiatry, something like that. Hasn't been able to get a job, so he worked for us, and now he's actually got a job. So just having that 6 months working here, he's now able to get a deployment, but not where he wants to be, but he's actually found paid work, so that's great. And another guy, he's been a volunteer. Well, he actually came back volunteering after he'd finished, but now he's found work as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so we get back to the kitchen staff. We also have them. The kitchen staff start at 6 o'clock in the morning to pick up bread. So you've got to be mad, really, to get up at 6 o'clock to collect bread.
I'm just reminding myself, we're talking about volunteers here getting up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we're talking about volunteers getting up at 6 o'clock to go and collect bread from different places.
Yes.
And they arrive back here around about 6:37, where there's a team of about four or five people help to, say 3 to 4 maybe, to start packing it. So with the bread is unpacked, so we have to have our gloves and hats on and things like that and pack up the bread into their plastic bags and then put it out so our clients can get it. Then we have a truck that arrives in at around about 11 o'clock every morning and the guys have to unpack that, work out where all that produce has to go. Oh, and we also have Second Bite. Second Bite we pick up around about 7 o'clock and that's all the leftover food from Coles, which is really wonderful Coles to do that for us. We pick up lots of vegetables and, of course, leftover bread. We have mountains of bread. So dedicated staff and, of course, Work for the Dole. Now, Work for the Dole, I have to say, has been quite successful. The guys, some guys don't want to start, so one or two guys started last week, turned up in thongs. I had to send him home. He came back, he worked for an hour, and that was the end of his whole working life, I think.
Yeah.
Other guys come in, they work their little butts off, and they sometimes, most times, will find a work, so they can find paid work. So it's all good, and it's good learning experience for us and for them, because they have to feel like timesheets.
Yes. I mean, Work for the Dole here and there gets quite a bit of criticism, but through UCare, obviously, it's...
Well, it's working.
Yeah.
Like I say, if they don't turn up the next day, I know not to bother. That does happen.
Yeah.
All in all, the guys that we've had have been just a dream. Really wonderful blokes and girls.
Yeah.
So it's been really good. Really
great story. Good. Can we just go back to that food? That's a lot of food that you're preparing and... Where does some of that food go and how do you distribute that?
We have about 2,000 kilograms of food come in the back door, if you like, via the truck every month. So and that's from Coles. OzHarvest, we'd probably have another, probably similar or if not more. So the vegetables are on their last legs, so... The kitchen staff, the volunteers, actually sort it as to what should go out to the front. And the policy is if you wouldn't eat it, we wouldn't give it to our clients.
Yes.
So that's the way to go. And, of course, you've got to be checking for any problems anyway. So it's got to be quality. It's got to be quality food without being off or anything like that.
Yeah. And did I hear a rumour once that you were helping out with schools and...
No, that's not a rumour. We also have volunteers, a volunteer who takes a school breakfast program to the Gawler school, the Gawler, one in Gawler, Gawler East. No, it's not Gawler East.
The school in Gawler.
School in Gawler. Gawler Primary. It's Gawler Primary.
Okay.
Evanston and the big school, but I call the big school, but...
Gawler College, B-12.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
So we do those. They were getting some food from Second Bite last year, but we still supplemented their milk and bread, and this year they've lost that, unfortunately, and we're doing the lot again. So So, yeah. And we also, last year, we did Blakeview and Craigmore schools as well. But this year, there's no one to deliver the food, so we're not
Oh,
doing it.
okay.
So, bad luck, but it'd be cheaper for us. Can I say there
Yes.
that the money we get from Pancake Day is what we use to fund the school breakfast program?
Great story.
So,
Great story.
28th is Pancake Day.
I think that probably leads into the next area that I really want to talk to you about is that you're a volunteer yourself. You're doing really important work with your team of volunteers. You do this 5 days a week.
Yes, I do. 5 days a week. I'm here at 7:30 every morning. The reason I'm here at 7:30 in the morning is to ensure that everything in the kitchen is running smoothly. I don't know why. I just felt that my presence made a difference in the way things were done, and not being I'd be noting myself at all, because otherwise I'd be rather be in bed, to be perfectly honest. And then I work through till 4.
And so what motivates you? I mean, very, very few people work as volunteers 5 days a week. There are a lot of volunteers in our community,
Oh,
but you are
yeah.
the only one I know who does it 5 days a week. So what's the
I
driving
guess
factor?
it's sad, but I've got no grandchildren. That's a good start. Well, the grandchildren I have live in Tasmania, and one's 21 and the other one's 14 now, so getting up there. So they don't really need grandma, but and I thought this was something that I could do, and it never was meant to end up like this. It just it happened. I started off just working in reception, 9:30 till 3, 2 days a week, and next thing you know, I'm doing 3 days, and then I found out that maybe it's good if I could do some the loans that were here, the NILS loans and things like that, the NILS loans and step up loans, and got into that. So there's another few days, and then I just loved it so much that I couldn't help myself. So now, then after a while, I got my husband into it as well. So he does a lot of picking up and deliveries. So now it's just a UK family, and now my sons are saying, "Mum, it's time you retired." But no, I'm still here.
Well, it's clearly a big part of your life, and I'm just wondering if we might be able to go back in time and just reflect on Raylene as a young girl, young woman. And can you tell us basically where you grew up and a bit about your schooling and
Well, actually, I was brought up at Woodville North. I went to Pennington Primary School. My mother actually went to Pennington Primary School as well, and I went to Woodville High. When I left Woodville High School, I actually worked for Myer in their ledger department. Looks like I've always had a bit of a flair for numbers. And then I've transferred to, would you believe, Timer Fashions in Gawler. So I worked for them for a few years under Ken Jacobs.
Okay,
And I used to work, well, I still talk to Ruth, to Claire Rundle, shall I say.
Yes,
I still talk to her. And so we started there. And then when Jeff and I got married at St. George's Church in Gawler, after a stint in Woomera, we then
yes.
went end up in Western Australia in Karratha. So that's where I found my passion.
Is that right?
That's where I found
Talk us through that. What happened there?
I always liked figures and liked numbers, but the guys there were training accountants and accountants, and I started a diploma course. They said, "Ah, oh, no, you can't do a diploma. Look at the results. You've got to do a degree." So I started a degree. So I never finished that degree, by the way. My son in year 12 seemed to need me more than ever, so I didn't. I decided that he was more important than me. Let's do it this way. So, but I was already the accountant at the Seven Mile and for Rio Tinto in Dampier, Western Australia.
That's a huge responsibility, I would think,
Yeah,
in a
well.
very male-dominated community, being the accountant.
Yes, I had a lot.
Talk to us a bit more about what's going on there.
It was very, very male dominated. Back in that era, that would have been the 80s. It was just circumstance. I thought, well, I got on with everybody. I don't know what it was all about, but
yeah.
The guys I just got on with, they liked me. I had a petty cash float of $10,000, so I must have been trusted.
Yeah.
And then to be the accountant out there was just a dream come true.
Really?
Raylene Benny, your accountant, on the door. And then from there, I was asked to move down to Perth to be the systems administrator or the systems manager.
Okay.
So I looked after and assisted developing a new system for the iron ore invoicing in different currencies of the world. So I actually wrote the manual for that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So this is the young girl who went to Pennington Primary. You end up in Karratha.
Yeah, and then did that. And then another thing I did while I was working for Hammersley, I must have always had these little things on the side that was just my way, is that I used to look after young achievers. That's all different colleges in Perth. And one year I was looked after the Scotch College, and we actually won that year. And I guess the highlight there was talking in front of the Premier of Western Australia and about 500 people in the audience. That was
stunning.
It was awesome.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
And also working and doing that work I did for Rio Tinto, another great opportunity I had is that all the accountants that were from Rio Tinto came to Western Australia. We went to Rottnest Island. And a team of us had to talk about how we can implement accounts payable system in a lot better. This is before EFT and we still had checks. And we developed a way to actually pay people by EFT.
Let me just clarify things here. That you're actually having a very significant influence on accounting practices. And I'm pretty sure you did mention you don't even have an accounting degree.
Correct. I don't have a degree.
Well done.
I don't have a degree. Not at all.
So clearly your colleagues, when you're doing all this stuff, they are many qualified accountants.
Oh, they're all qualified. It was just little old me. But yeah. I think, well, maybe I just had their respect.
Yeah.
Maybe I knew what I was talking about. I don't know. It just sometimes these things just happen.
Inspiring story.
Yeah, things just happen. Like, you know, who would have thought that Raylene Benia from Pennington High School could be the administrator of UCare? I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Look, and that probably leads into our next question. You're over in Western Australia being extremely busy and you end up eventually back in Gawler running UCare. How did... Explain that transition.
Oh, well, gosh, that was pretty horrible story, really, in a way. My husband got very ill, very ill.
Oh, okay.
And he'd already gone through about, we thought he had prostate cancer.
Mm.
And miracles of miracles, that disappeared. But then we found that he had microtumour in his pituitary gland. And he was really quite fortunate that he had a very good specialist and they were able to find this microtumour. But Jeff felt that he needed to be back in South Australia with his family. He's got 9 brothers and sisters, I have 7 brothers and sisters. So I think he thought that it was time for us to come back and be with our families. So we already actually bought a house over the net to come back to Gawler. So...
Yeah.
We bought a house over the net. We asked my sister lives at Williston, and I asked her to go and look at the house at Williston, and she said, yep, looks pretty good, so that's what we did. Since then, we've actually built a brand new home in Gawler East with our son. Yeah.
I guess an unfortunate circumstance actually
brought
us back here.
Yeah, and I guess...
Raylene, unfortunately for our community, you're back in Gawler, and presumably you're in the home you've bought. Then you started UCare. What attracted you to UCare? How did that happen?
Right. When I came back to Adelaide, I thought, well, I have to get a job because I'm still able to work and I'm not going to stay at home. I can't stay at home. I'm not that sort of person. Otherwise, Jeff wouldn't be able to work on the floors at home because I'd have too clean, apparently. So that's not, it doesn't work in our family. So Rainey goes to work. What happened is I got a job with the BHP Billiton back in my proper field. And I worked for them and I found I kept on falling over and I had to have a knee replacement. After the knee replacement, I thought, what am I going to do now? So then I thought, okay, instead of getting the train every day, because you had to get the train at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:04, and then on the 5:05 going home, let's work somewhere else. So I drove my car to British Aerospace and I worked there. And then my other knee went. So I thought, that must be enough for me. So I had to get the knee done again and all that sort of thing. So when it came time to go back to work again, I thought, oh, yeah, can't use your super yet. What am I going to do? So I rang up Northern Volunteering and they said, oh, the job's coming today at UCare for a reception work. And I said, well, that sounds great. I could do that. And that's how I didn't know.
And that's where it started.
I had no idea this sort of thing happened. I didn't know this sort of thing even was existed.
So this is your first experience at dealing with people who are down on their luck.
I had no idea. I'm sorry. I was just so naive. I did not know that this sort of thing existed. So it was it really opened my eyes. Do people come and grab bread? You know, what? Yeah. You know? And then they're allowed to have two parcels a year. Really? But why? I mean, why? I mean, what's wrong? Why don't people have enough money? And it was quite...
I guess you're like a lot of people in our community. We just don't see the
people. We didn't know.
Yeah.
I just didn't know and didn't know this sort of thing went on. And then, of course, when I talked to my sister-in-law about it, she said, yeah, Raylene, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
I'm just naive. I didn't know. I honestly didn't know. I feel ashamed that I didn't know. Otherwise, maybe I could have helped in some other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you've been doing for the last 8 years?
Yeah.
5 days a week?
5 days a week.
Well, I think you're telling me it's almost 6 days a week.
Well, it's 6 days a week now because we come in on Saturdays to collect food, again, from OzHarvest, because they collect food from the markets at New York. So now we get another different lot of foods coming in on Saturday afternoon, which is just wonderful. Yes. Milk and cheese and even ice cream last week. So I don't know how they manage that, the guys. But there's a team of people that live up that way and they're volunteers from OzHarvest that decide to pick it up. So more bread, more food, more everything, which is just wonderful. So we can give out more food to our Gawler residents. But that's another story.
Raylene, it is another story, and I was thinking we probably should talk again about some aspects of your history, which are very interesting. But before we finish up the interview today, I wonder if I can ask you that you've been doing the job now for 8 years. Are you seeing the same sort of issues with clients you first saw 8 years ago, or are they the same plus new ones occurring?
No, I would think that we would see new ones. What we like to see is people come in here, we give them financial counselling or do financial literacy or something like that, and they change. So our clients move on or we have a new lot of people. But I would say it'd be 60-40 at the moment. So 60 would be repeat clients and 40 would be the other or new clients that come in. So, yeah, I think that'd be about right. And it's males and females. Females would be more than the males, of course.
Yes.
Because of children and they've got the time to come in. But it's mainly females, mostly females, and the turnover is amazing. Amazing.
Okay, yeah.
So every month we have bags of vegetables to give out every day that we actually pay for. And there'd be 400 a month given out as that. It's just, we'd do up 25 bags a day and they all go. And they're not allowed to do, the same person cannot get the same vegetables the next day.
There's clearly a lot of work in all this and very important. Just one other area I probably should ask you about is that power prices are in the news every day. Does that impact on the people that you see anyway?
It certainly does, because a lot of the people are, because they're not so well off, the fridges are old, the washing machines are old, they don't usually have air conditioning, and if they do, it's old. Yeah. So therefore the energy consumption is up.
Yes.
So therefore we're seeing bills to, which I think is a lot, $800 to $1,200 every 3 months. To me, that's a lot, because my bills...
That is a lot.
Bill's, what, $300 to $400?
Yeah.
Depending on the time of the season. Yeah. And we're a family of four, because we got... my son lives on one side of the house, we live on the other. So there's four adults living in the house.
Yes.
So, and to see some of these bills coming in, and they're paying it by smoother cards, or they're not paying it at all, or... And they live in old houses. So there's all that sort of thing going on. So they're already disadvantaged, and they're disadvantaged again because they've got old equipment. This is where our NILS loans come in, really handy. Because
yes,
NILS loan is no interest, and they can borrow up to $1,200, and they can get a new washing machine, a new fridge. And then if they do that one at a time, you can see actually the difference in the power consumption, and that's going down. Yeah.
Well, Raylene, can I say it's just been a delight to talk to you today and to hear some of those stories of people down on their luck, but more importantly, your story. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Barry.
Excellent.
Joy.
This interview, recorded in the year 2017 by the Gawler Community Broadcasting Association, is available for download for purposes of educational research. We expect that any creative written or electronic work derived from the recording gives due credit to the interviewee, interviewer, and GBA.